Hello, I'm Sahar Hunaidi. Welcome to Podcasts for Life. Hello, Karen Klickner. Welcome back to London.
Thank you.
Now, this is probably my nth consultation with you that we've just had. And of course, over the years, I must admit, it's been really, really helpful. But there is something that I've meant to ask you. When you send me these tonics, so you do the muscle testing and we test for the various things that I need, I get the feeling that this tonic is specially made for me. I mean, it's not like a range that you have off the shelf and you grab the bottle and send it.
Correct. It's exactly tailored to what your body needs.
And is that what you do for everyone else? I mean, is this the way you treat or diagnose, rather?
Ideally, that's what we try to do. I mean, granted, if you take someone who has a terrible diet and a lot of various conditions, if you change it in any direction, towards a more healthy approach, they're going to feel better. But how do you get them to optimal health, to perfect balance? The only way you can do that is to treat them individually, unlike anyone else that you would treat.
Is that, I mean, although we are all similar, we are also vastly individual.
Absolutely.
So what we're talking about really is personalized medicine.
It is absolutely personalized medicine. I mean, that's what holistic medicine is intended to be. It's not just about treating the whole body, but about treating your whole body. Mm-hmm. And not just your chemistry and your biology and your blood, but about your history, how your genetics have expressed over your lifetime, all the traumas you've experienced, the diseases, everything that's coded your body.
And is that really vastly different? I mean, from your experience now,
incredibly
all these years,
different.
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
So when you sit with a person for the consultation, mm-hmm. it's pretty much an individual process. You have to ask them their own.
You know, when you first sit down, you don't have any idea what information you're going to get or what you need to ask. So I usually start by telling the person, "Tell me about your life. Tell me about the things that have affected you the most. Tell me what you think has happened to you over your lifetime that is affecting you even today." And that starts them talking. And then as they say things, I'll be able to start to see patterns of what's happened to them. And I'll start making notes
right.
about other questions I want to ask. And that way you start getting to a point where you can realize where you need to begin.
So it sounds to me that also intuition comes into it. I mean, having seen thousands of people.
Yeah, I think there is intuition involved in
because
it,
you're
yeah.
looking at their historical culture, sort
right,
of, isn't
right.
it?
And there are a lot of times that you'll be looking at someone and, you know that this is a gallbladder situation. But all of a sudden I'll say, "So when did you have food poisoning?" And they'll be very surprised and they'll be like, "Well, how did you know that?" And I'll say, "Well, that is a typical situation for gallbladder issues," when in fact, I'm not sure how I knew that that was the question I needed to ask.
Yes.
But inevitably, that will lead me to what comes up as being the thing to be treated in them.
And of course, the muscle testing is quite specific.
It's very specific,
because two
yeah.
people could have asthma, or two people could have...
And it'll come up as being two completely different underlying issues that have developed the same symptomology.
And it's really fascinating that you travel with these layers of... Like, what do we call them?
Testing kits.
Testing
yeah.
kit. I mean, it's incredible. You have a numerous amount, and then each one, so it really is specific.
Yeah. It's funny because you and I were talking earlier, and I get nervous sometimes going through customs because I've got these bottles and bottles and bottles of things that I'm carrying along with me, which are all my test kits when I'm traveling, and I'm always worried that they're going to stop me and want to know what is in all these hundreds of bottles you're carrying around with you.
That's amazing, really.
So...
I wanted to ask you if there was a particular problem for a particular age group or a particular sex, I mean, from your experience all these years with the ISIS clinic.
I think that the things I see most often are among women, it's mm-hmm. going to be adrenal fatigue, mm-hmm. digestive distress, like bowel function not appropriately or not good digestive function, and thyroid issues. Mm-hmm. And among men, it tends to be more about skin issues, interestingly,
really?
Muscular problems. You know, like a lot of muscle distress, muscle fatigue.
Really?
You know, that sort of thing. And then prostate is the big thing with men as well.
And is there a seasonality Is there a difference between what you see in England and what you see in the States and Puerto Rico and Switzerland?
You know, it's interesting that you ask that, because I wonder if that's the case. But it tends to be that I will all of a sudden, in the span of 3 weeks, get 20 gallbladder cases.
In whatever country
it is. In whatever country I'm in. It just happens at that particular time. And so
amazing.
I don't know if it has something to do with what's going on in their food or in their lifestyle at that time of year that makes gallbladder really become more prevalent. I'm not sure.
Is it seasonal, do you think, or is it really in general the lifestyle
it
that we lead?
It could be seasonal
modern...
and lifestyle. I mean, for instance, gallbladder is very much related to the processing of fat. So there are certain times of the year where we will tend to eat a lot more fat in our diet based on the food choices we're making.
Mm-hmm.
Or fat will tend to be utilized more for insulation in colder climates and in colder seasonal areas. So,
is the Herbal Advisor program that you've done with the BBC, is that someone could someone still access that now?
I don't think it's any longer available. It was on World Radio Geneva on
right.
their website for quite a while. And I'm thinking of actually putting it on our website,
as
on both
podcasts,
the Herbal Advisor and then also on the ISIS website, or at least small versions of all those programs that I did.
Because that is really interesting. This is something that you're focusing on now, how
yeah.
how herbs, which are completely natural, there are
yeah.
no chemicals, et cetera,
right.
can help us.
Everything that I'm doing now at the clinic when I'm working biochemically are either food concentrates, like concentrated beet for gallbladder,
mm-hmm.
or a certain mineral composition for relaxing the nervous system, or they're herbs. And that's where I'm sort of beginning
right.
with most people.
And I want to go back to the holistic medicine, or the holistic treatment, if you like, of wellness. Do you do other things at the ISIS clinic?
Yeah, we actually do many different types of physical therapies that can help people to detoxify, to really get their body more into balance. Recently, I think the things we're using most often are colonics,
mm-hmm.
lymphatic drainage,
mm-hmm.
and acupuncture seem to be the three big ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then body work is something that we use all the time for everything.
Why is detoxing important? And lymphatic drainage, because that's more and more coming an
yeah,
issue in mainstream media.
Yeah, it's becoming
media.
A huge issue. The reality is that throughout our lives, there are different elimination pathways that our body has that become congested,
mm-hmm.
either due to the types of things that we're taking in our food or our environment, and so then the body will utilize other pathways to try and eliminate that. So the concept of detoxification is to open your pathways and get the body to clean out anything that it's deposited. Because if it's depositing material, like in the breast tissue or in the kidneys or in the liver, you're looking at calcification, stone formation, loss of minerals. It really changes the body chemistry.
And can that be specific to women and men, whatever toxifies our bodies?
It's more not about the sex, but it's more about the history.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, certain people will tend to not process calcium well, and
oh,
that
I
can
see.
Be a genetic predisposition, so their body will tend to
not
allow
assimilate.
Calcium to precipitate out into soft tissue
mm-hmm.
and cause various problems.
Mm-hmm. What would be the signs that someone needs to have a serious detox? Bloating?
Actually, the interesting thing is the way we decide if someone needs
mm-hmm.
a detox is if every single one of their body systems has some symptomology.
Really?
If they have symptoms through their whole body and it's already gone into lots of various body systems. So we'll start with cleansing them out, because that'll take out many of those symptoms, and then we'll get to focus on which of the systems really are dysfunctional.
That needs the help.
Exactly.
So
it sort of shakes it out so that you can focus on something, yeah.
Is there a general kind of tip, an insight that we can give our listeners, some kind of something that you've discovered? a remedy that's
ooh.
Maybe...
I think treating the adrenals for women would eliminate 50% of every woman's symptoms, no matter what they are. I really think that's a huge priority.
And that's mostly stress-related,
yeah,
as we
it's
said
mostly
in the previous podcast.
It is. Another thing is, interestingly, an old remedy, which is 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar 15 mm-hmm. minutes before each meal.
Before each meal?
Yep.
Oh, because I normally mix that in my salad dressing.
For acidifying the intestinal tract. It allows you to break down and absorb minerals much more effectively.
And can you have that on its own, or does it need to be?
You can put in a little bit of water and just drink it down. It's sort of a more updated version of Agostora bitters that people used to have prior to every meal as a digestive.
And Karen, finally, with all this knowledge, how do you relax?
Interestingly, I travel. I have to leave.
You love traveling.
I do. I love to travel. I have to leave the country and go somewhere without my cell phone where I can just, you know, completely decompress. And I do that a lot.
What is one thing that you must travel with and take on holiday? What
Books.
Would it be? Books. Really?
Absolutely. I read like a fiend. Love to read.
Can we ask, what are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading a biography of Gertrude Bell, who was one of the architects of the modern state of country of Iraq.
I was going to guess that it's nothing to do with health or well-being.
You know, it's interesting because I do have the work reading pile and I have the fun reading pile.
I think
pile.
we need so, that, isn't it? Yes,
yeah.
to reach
out. I won't read workbooks when I'm traveling for fun. I'll read workbooks as part of work.
Well, so. it's wonderful to have you with us again.
Thanks. I'd
and
love
it's
being
a,
here.
It's been a very special weekend, and I hope that your visit will be very successful too.
Thank you.
Thank you.